really good to be with you. We're doing a three-week series called Intersections, and the title might not get you there, but the concept will. And I'm joined today with my good friend and longtime buddy, Cole Denny. Would you say hey?
Hello.
What do you do at LifeGate currently?
I am currently the associate campus pastor and youth pastor at our Papillion campus.
So obviously, if you know me, my name is Mike Hintz. My N is I got to know Cole when I hired Cole to be my youth pastor. Yes. When I was at Papillion. And honestly, there's nobody I would rather do this podcast with than Cole, than you, because I think you think deeply about things, and I love that about you.
Thank you.
And also, you're way younger than me. And a so little. We have two different generational perspectives. Mm-hmm. On a topic that I think plagues all generations.
Yes.
And so the topic is, maybe you've thought about it as evangelism or witnessing. There's so many terms to this. And I think the term comes with specific feels.
Yeah.
And if you could just sum up, how do you feel when, like, even when I say the word, hey, we're going to talk about evangelism.
Yeah.
Like, what does that conjure up in you?
Not all good feelings, mostly negative ones. Really, like, if I'd sum it up, like, inadequacy, pressure. So, like, growing up, basically grew up Christian. And I think most people who will resonate with that feeling of, oh, I've been Christian for a long, long, long time. Evangelism makes me feel like something I should be doing, something I don't feel like I'm great at doing. And if I'm honest, I feel kind of guilty about that. I want to hide that. I'm maybe a little ashamed of that. Maybe I've tried some of it. Maybe I've seen people try some of it. And I don't feel, just overall, when you say evangelism, I don't think, oh, I love that so much.
So it brings up feelings of guilt, shame, the idea of I have to, and mm-hmm. that's going to make me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing a good enough job. Therefore, God's probably secretly mad at me and hasn't told me yet. Or yeah. I'm just an immature or deficient Christian.
Yes.
I think that sums up how we all feel about it.
Yep.
And I think it stems from, for me, my first introduction to evangelism. I grew up in the Assemblies of God. And mm-hmm. so they had this class that the Assemblies did called Evangelism Explosion. And my dad was a master at this. He was the guy leading our church in this. And there were two questions I learned that you're supposed to ask somebody. And do you know what they are?
Do you know where you're going after you die?
Right. That's the intro question that you're like, hey, are those tomatoes? Hey, do you know where you're going? Like, and so you just interject them anywhere. They're like a foolproof method.
Yeah, you just slide that in there.
Hijack any conversation and make it a witnessing opportunity.
Right, right.
So the first one was that. And the second one was like it, but was?
Was if, do you know where you're going to go after you die? And why would God let you into his heaven? Yeah. Why should I let you into my heaven?
Yeah, Evangelism Explosion taught it this way. If you're standing before God and he's at the gates of heaven, and he says, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to him? And honestly, it's such a stumper question for mm-hmm. most people. Even I think in our church would not get the quote unquote right answer.
Right.
And so that was like the history of me growing up. So that's late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
That was the prevailing idea behind evangelism. And then it turned into, if I know the Romans road, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you know, and you take them to 6:23 and 8, 9, and 10, and you knew how to get people to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart, then you'll be saved. And you just walked them through, this is how easy it is, just do these things.
Right.
And that still felt hard and uncomfortable. And so I think what it led to was this time period where it just felt hard and it felt uncomfortable. So we became the people who didn't. Mm-hmm. But we had to have a solution for our guilt. And it became the rise of the seeker-friendly church, mm-hmm. which is, if I can just get my friends to come to church, then the pastor will do what I'm uncomfortable to do.
Yeah.
And so the solution was, catch the fish, bring them to the church. The church will clean the fish, and we'll have Christians and a fish fry.
Yeah.
Just makes it all the worse. And so what happened was evangelism became systematic and a little bit dead, maybe.
Yeah.
Dead's not the right word, but just not accessible.
Maybe kind of stagnant a little.
Yeah, Yeah. And so, but we became very comfortable. We just get people to church, and that's how churches will grow, and that's how people will become Christians. And honestly, it does work to some degree. People do experience God when they come in contact with church. But what it's done is it's caused us a distance from our own connection with God and with others. And if there's a point to intersections, it's realizing God has intersections in your life, and he has intersections in the lives of other people, and he wants us to have those intersections with other people too. And when we do, he actually gives us intersections all the time.
Yeah.
We just don't recognize them for what they are because we have become singular in our focus. Like, I just have to get people to church. And that'll happen maybe Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure we have good saving messages around that time, and the kingdom will go forth. And I don't know if that's what really God intended for us.
Right.
And so that's what we want to explore today. And that's a little bit of the history of, that has brought us to this point. And it's caused a lot of feels in people. But if there's a passage of scripture that I think would be brilliant for this time frame, it's one that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, 18 and 19, and even 20. He said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the end of the very age, or to the very end of the age. And there's this sense that this is his drop mic moment. I've done everything. You're prepared. And honestly, that's the end of the book of Matthew. But what we often think is Jesus told us to go make converts. And that's really what happens when we pull out evangelism and think it's a thing we do.
Yeah.
But Jesus never actually even says that. He says, go make disciples. And the word disciple has within it this idea that there's supposed to be a relational element, that this ambushing a total stranger as he walks out of Walmart with a clipboard and some questions maybe wasn't what he intended.
Yeah.
And it has caused us to feel some things about evangelism that aren't accurate. And so we have some questions for you guys to go through today. And we're going to go through them a little bit on our own. But the first question is, go ahead, I'll let you tell us the first question.
Number one, first question. How do you feel about sharing the gospel with somebody, sharing Jesus with somebody in conversation?
So when you hear that and you think in the old school mindset of evangelism, instead of where we're really, it's not this is new school, this is actually older school.
Yeah.
But
the oldest of schools.
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, if you read the Bible, Paul went to places and stayed for months, if not years, making disciples. So there was a relational connection. He didn't just go pop in, pop out. And like we read the book of Acts thinking this happened in a day.
Yeah.
Or in a, he had a wild month where he did this missionary journey and he just went a bunch of places.
I went on this cruise and I evangelized the whole world.
And it didn't happen that way. It took a long time. We just we have a highlight reel. So when you hear, like, how does that make you feel? How does it, like, if you think about the way that we often think about evangelism, how does it make you feel?
You know, it makes me feel some confusion. Like, if I put myself in the place of, like, how, if I'm answering the question, how do I feel about sharing the gospel? As, like, a guy who's been a Christian for, I say in air quotes, a long time, knowing I am the youngest person in this room by a lot. But,
Hey, it's okay if you just say youngest. You don't have to say by a lot. You don't have to use the multiplier of times two. It's okay.
Sure.
I already know.
But like I went to Bible college for 4 years. I got to study things a lot of people don't have the luxury of studying. And in those regards, I feel more confident about like sharing the gospel with somebody. But I know the only reason I feel some of that confidence is because of some of the training and studying I got in college. And prior to that, I felt, and even a little bit after, feeling a bit of confusion if someone were to come up to me and be like, hey, share the gospel. That's like, what do I actually say? That's kind of a big question that we'll ask our students. I know Taylor's a big fan of, he'll ask the students at West Dodge, like, what is the gospel? Can you define it? Can you explain it? If you can't, it's kind of revealing about how we really understand the gospel. And if I can't explain it well, how am I supposed to share that with somebody well?
Yeah. And I think that's really true, because even if you're listening to this, you're thinking, wait, how would I explain the gospel? Yeah,
quick. So yeah. Pop quiz. What's the gospel? Go.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And so then all of a sudden we take something that God meant to be relational and we take it into mm-hmm. a theological educational realm, mm-hmm. which I don't think he intended us to do.
Right.
And so I think it does cause us to feel uncomfortable. And maybe that's a good second question is, you know, have you ever been in a position where you felt like, okay, I'm supposed to do something in sharing my faith? And how did that feel? And then, or maybe how did you feel when someone was sharing that faith with you? I think that's mm-hmm. a really good question. I can remember times where I was literally the kid with a clipboard going door to door because I was on an evangelism campaign.
Yeah.
And I was asking people these questions and I felt awful because I didn't know them at all.
Yeah.
And I'm asking them super intrusive questions. And so it did help me understand how people react and have a conversation there. But man, that's a horrible thing to subject a 14-year-old right. to.
So. Did they at least give you prize tears if you like converted some people? Did you get the glowing bouncy ball or
whatever? I got the Walkman.
Yeah. You were that kid with the fundraisers.
Yeah.
You got all the
fun
stuff.
Funny. That's funny. And then I think it goes back to, now I want you to contrast this. The third question I think is super helpful, which is, who was the first person that shared the gospel with you?
Yeah.
And how did it happen? Because it's often different than how we have to make it happen. For most of us, for me, it was my mom in my room. I went to a Sunday school and then we were talking about it afterwards and she told me how to know Jesus and accept him into my heart. And it was in this loving, nurturing relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I got saved quite early, like 7 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it was for you.
Yeah, for me it was, it was my dad. I can't remember like specifically when a moment when I was like, oh, this is the gospel. I will follow the Lord now, right? Mm-hmm. I just kind of grew up that way. But I did have a friend when I was, 13, right around there. I went to King of Kings Church in Omaha, which is mm-hmm. a Lutheran church, and we had a confirmation class, and I really did not like it, and I wanted to leave, and my dad gave me that out. It was a really wise decision. He was like, you know what? You have to choose what you believe, and I'm giving you the freedom to do that. My friend, Harrison, was really consistent about re-inviting me back, but in a way that made sense to our relationship. We knew each other. Mm-hmm. And so he wouldn't just be like, hey, do you want to come back to church? He'd be like, hey, you're dumb. When are you coming back to church? Which I wouldn't advise as like a method.
Right.
But it made sense for us because I knew him and he knew me.
And it was how you already communicated about other things in your relationship.
Yes.
That wouldn't work if you just met him while going with a clipboard door to
door. Right. Hey, you're dumb. Come to church.
Goodbye forever.
Right. It was his consistency that caused me to go, okay, we go to the same place and have two different experiences. What does he have that I don't have and I don't like not having it? So now I want to go back.
Right.
And that changed everything.
That's great. See, and I think when we really stop and think about it, our relationship with God started often. I'm not always. There's some people that maybe met somebody on the street. Mm-hmm. And that conversation happened, and there was a moment and a decision that took place.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make it invalid, but by and large, most of us found it through relationship rather than through a random stranger. And so I think when we know that that's what can happen, it changes maybe our approach.
Yeah.
And so we have a challenge for you this week. It's a pretty simple challenge.
Yeah.
We don't want you to do anything.
Don't do it.
Yeah. But what we do want you to do is?
We want you to keep your eyes open, maybe even ask the Lord, hey, where are there intersections around me to run into people that this might be an opportunity to share Jesus, to share the gospel. But instead of actually doing it, don't do it. We want you to think through in your mind, imagine, picture, kind of create the simulation in your brain. What would I say? How would I do that? Like point A to point B, how would this whole interaction go? Because we're going to have you share that eventually. But the challenge really is don't act on it. Don't do it, but really think through it and picture it in your head. What would you do?
That's perfect. And what I love is don't just do it. Remember it so that when you come to group next week, mm-hmm. you can talk about it. Like mm-hmm. have one or two stories where you're like, hey, I had this opportunity and be prepared to share. Yep. And we look forward to talking to you next week.